When Bernardo Arevalo came to power in Guatemala nearly 3 years ago, he set out to uproot a culture of impunity in public service. The new president faced formidable opposition from the sitting attorney general, who was chosen by his predecessor and deeply implicated in corruption. It wasn't until this past May that Mr. Arevalo was able to appoint a new chief law enforcement officer in the Central American country. Gabriel Garcia Luna now faces a formidable task of rebuilding the rule of law and restoring public trust. As one former prosecutor tells our reporter, Yulania Ramazzini, credibility has to be restored. We all have high expectations. Go to csmonitor.com to read the story. It's Tuesday, August 18th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. President Donald Trump's envoy met with Israel's leader on a Gaza plan. Jared Kushner and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met Monday to find common ground on implementing the Gaza ceasefire. The Israeli leader have rejected a 15-point roadmap calling for Hamas disarmament in exchange for an Israeli withdrawal. Mr. Netanyahu's office called the meeting constructive, saying reconstruction would happen only after Hamas disarms. Two working groups would be set up on the demilitarization of Gaza and on sanitation, his office said. Mr. Kushner and Board of Peace members in charge of post-war Gaza governance had met in Egypt with Hamas leader Khalil Ahaya. A top U.S. commander visited troops on the USS Abraham Lincoln. The aircraft carrier has been deployed since November, a record duration, and has gone more than 250 days without a port call as it supports the U.S. war in Iran. Lawmakers have inquired about reported problems ranging from mold and broken toilets to suicide attempts. Admiral Brad Cooper, who flew to the ship over the weekend, said that of the Navy's 11 active aircraft carriers, the Abraham Lincoln currently has among the lower number of cases related to mental health. The USS George Washington is now headed to the region to relieve the ship. Also, Reddit Incorporated joined a major stock index. Effective Tuesday, Reddit became only the second pure-play social media firm in the S&P 500 index, alongside Meta. This expands the S&P index exposure to social media, digital ads, and AI data licensing at a time when the index is trying to represent large U.S. stocks across various industries. Reddit will replace Avalon Bay Communities, recently acquired by Equity Residential. The S&P announcement sent Reddit shares soaring over 11% toward $181, teeing up nearly $3 billion in projected index fund buying. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. President Donald Trump's announcement that he is scaling back U.S. participation in long-standing joint military drills in South Korea is another example of Washington's willingness to turn away from traditional allies. It also shows how faraway wars might be reshaping security dynamics in the Pacific. Matthew Bell reports for the Monitor. The military's top officer warned the Trump administration about a possible missile shortage if it attacked Iran. Stockpiles are now depleted, and plans to rebuild them focus less on the current war than on preparing for possible future conflicts. Anna Maureen Groby reports for the Monitor. Political parties usually tout major legislative wins as reasons why voters should stick with them at election time. This year, Republicans are fielding public skepticism about President Trump's signature bill, and Democrats are using it to craft their own message. Caitlin Babcock reports from Washington for The Monitor. Hydroponic farms in import-reliant Saudi Arabia are good for business and national security as well. With the Arab Kingdom facing blockades and disruptions on both of its coasts, growing food and water, surprisingly, is providing a green line of defense. Taylor Luck reports from Al Harj, Saudi Arabia, for The Monitor. Local communities along Kenya's coast once saw turtles as a valuable source of food and income. Now, working with Fikeri Kipanda of the nonprofit Local Ocean Conservation, they see the animals' importance to the Indian Ocean's ecosystem. Contributor Sophie Neiman reports from Watamu, Kenya, for The Monitor. Check out our photo essay at csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on how Afghans are clinging to education for girls. 5 years ago this month, as the last United States forces withdrew from Afghanistan, the Taliban grasped the reins of government and have kept a tight hold on them since. The group's harsh interpretation of Islamic rule excludes girls and women who make up half of Afghanistan's estimated 50 million people from any meaningful education or employment opportunity beyond primary school. Such limitations affect untold individuals and families, as well as the overall development of a country mired in decades of civil war and foreign occupation. Yet, even amid a system likened to gender apartheid, Afghanistan's girls and women refuse to be completely cowed. They tune into sessions on the radio or the internet when it works. Some, whose families can afford it, attend clandestine informal schools in neighborhood homes. Others read and reread the same textbooks that they or their siblings used in pre-Taliban years, when girls could attend secondary school and even university. "I study in an online school, and we have not lost ourselves," one girl told researchers during a survey recently completed by Georgetown University's Institute for Women, Peace, and Security. "I am an Afghan girl, full of light, full of knowledge, full of power. They can close the school, but they can never extinguish the science from my mind," she declared. Her assertion of individuality, intelligence, and independent thought is drawing support at home and abroad in ways that are both quiet and quietly transformative. Last week, Agence France-Presse reported on conversations with Afghan fathers, many of them religiously observant, who chafe at the limits on their daughters' learning. The news agency described these men as losing sleep over what to do to help their bright and frustrated daughters, and noted that 9 out of 10 believe in the importance of girls' education. Culture and religion are often used as an excuse by extremists, according to Malala Yousafzai, girls' education campaigner and Nobel Peace Prize laureate. "But the religion that I know encourages education," she said in a 2024 interview with CNN. Ms. Yousafzai, who was shot in 2012 by Taliban fighters, referred to dozens of Muslim countries where women can access education and called on their leaders to step forward and actually challenge the Taliban's ban on girls' education. Countries as diverse as Morocco, Saudi Arabia, and Iran have enacted changes to traditional family law and social restrictions over the past several decades. In 2018, Saudi Arabia lifted restrictions on women driving cars, enabling new learning and job options for them. Iran, despite its current strict dress codes, has allowed education and workplace opportunities for women for nearly a century. And it's easy to forget that Yale and Princeton only began admitting women in 1968 and 1969, respectively, while Columbia held out until 1983. Girls and women's right to a full and fulfilling education has not always been a given, but it has been successfully claimed the world over. While the situation in Afghanistan is dire, it need not be dispiriting or hopeless. In the Georgetown survey, 80% of Afghan women said they were focused on supporting girls' education, viewing it as central to personal empowerment and eventually political peace. As an activist woman, I am not a victim of war, but an architect of social peace, one respondent told the researchers. And this is a voice that must be heard globally. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcast. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, through prayer, we can challenge assumptions and be guided instead by God's wise and loving will. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.